Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Match Ball.
Hello, we're in here somewhere. Welcome to the show. Dan Michael and Mosco with you on The Match Ball, brought to you with Levi Solicitors. 10% off your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. You may have noticed there, if you are watching the live stream or you're watching the video afterwards, we've brought three deadly weapons with us into this studio.
Doubling the number of deadly weapons that are already here.
One white, one yellow, one blue. Big pieces of paper. They were a good idea, weren't they?
Very good idea, yes. No one could have possibly foreseen that they would be screwed up and thrown.
I've never seen a game stopped for a litter pick before. But I thought that was one of the referee's many dim-witted moves.
Go and tidy those up.
If we take all them off, then there's absolutely no way. Like, the fans will stop throwing them then.
Yeah.
Once they see that.
I wonder, when they had a meeting at Leeds, and they said, do you know what we should do? We should give the East Stand about 10 or 11,000 paper missiles. And it's heavy paper stock, we should say. It's not just flimsy A4 that you're going to rip in half.
I did wonder if, given our lack of width, it was maybe part of the plan.
To try and drive people inwards.
Narrow the pitch with bits of paper.
Well, the clowns who were pelting Rafinha with paper at that corner,
He was quite rightly furious about that. He did a turn and said, what?
Was that first half or second half?
Second half.
He was in the northeast corner. And he was trying to take, he cleared loads of stuff to take a corner. And then about two or three more landed. And it was just like.
I mean, the linesman was down there, so fair game. But you don't want to hit Rafinha.
No.
He's an angry player.
I mean, we've just come straight from Elland Road, so we don't know what's been said exactly on Sky, but lots of second half.
He could do with this taking off.
Mosco, can you put the piece of paper down and stop hitting Michael, please, Mosco? Thank you. You'll get in trouble for that.
Use this one instead.
Apparently, loads of comments on Sky from Gary Neville saying, but they could have been coins, Martin.
Well, they could have been, yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm in favour of that. So when's the next home game?
What, coins?
When's the next home game? Is it
Chelsea?
Right. Yeah. Give everybody in the East Stand a pound. Well, just give them a pound coin. And then it's up to you. You either keep it and you've got a pound, or Gary Neville's worst fears come to pass.
A lot of Yorkshiremen there, everyone's just going to trouser it.
Same money. Exactly. If you're going to spend a pound, you can give everyone, 100 washers.
If you want. How much are ball bearings? A quid. And if you don't want to risk coins being thrown, make it paper money. Give everybody minimum £5.
Yes. Anyway.
All good ideas.
To the game, I mean, we are making light of a 4-0 defeat here. And yet, that's weird, isn't it, that I came out of Elland Road then and the atmosphere was absolutely tremendous at the end. It sounded like we were winning.
Which we definitely weren't.
Their
fourth goal was really odd because it went in and you couldn't really hear their fans because the ground was loud anyway.
Yeah.
And it was like they'd scored.
And everyone just carried on singing.
And then you looked at the south stand and everyone was having a party in there. And it was
For the benefit of anybody who wasn't in the ground today as well or left before, the players did a lap of whatever it was, a lap of claps.
Appreciation.
Yeah, lap of appreciation.
Although, I don't know if I'm alone in, if Jesse Marsh made it to the coverage, but he was doing he walked off fist pumping like this, and before that
it wasn't seven guys.
He turned to the south stand and he was looking at the south stand really intently and he was doing this.
That's Moscow flinging his arms sideways. Like, if you're listening,
it's like he was pointing in two directions at once.
Use them.
And it was quite a strange, I think he was trying to be like, you know, I really love this atmosphere, that's great, but it did have a little element of like, you know, we're really celebrating a 4-0 defeat. I was like, well, I mean, it's a game full of tragedy. So it's just, we're just continuing to be from top to bottom, from supports the players, the managers, to everybody. Just like a really weird football club. And, you know, it's great. I love it.
And that's the thing. I left today thinking, do you know what? If we go down, I don't care because we've got this. Mm. We've got this. It was amazing because I was just finishing that thought there was, if you left early or you didn't get there today, massive marching on together right round the ground at full time when the players were coming round giving their lap of appreciation.
The last 6 or 7 minutes of the game, we all love Leeds.
We all love Leeds
and loud, and certainly West Ham maybe not fully in there, but the rest of the ground.
Being in the back of it, it was fully West Ham.
It was brilliant. I'm so proud. And I feel like I'm almost buzzing a little bit from that. Mm. And we've just lost 4-0 at home and we're in real trouble.
Oh, we are going down, yes. Yeah,
Chelsea will be at Everton tomorrow and we'll still be where we were.
Burnley were not going to win any more games at one point.
They were going to sack Dyche.
You also said that about Newcastle, who are currently...
I might have said it after they sacked Dyche.
In mid-table. Mm. What did you make of that game? Wasn't it strange? Because watched it and thought, we've done really well there.
The plan sort of worked, other than them scoring from set pieces.
Well, should we rule out the last two goals, the third and the fourth?
Yeah.
Because by that time the game had got away from us. We weren't really. Yeah.
We weren't ready.
I mean, that, for example, the third, which was the through ball to Jesus, wasn't it, in the middle?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what happened then. Luke Ayling was offside and then they scored. Seemed to be the way it worked.
Well, they just broke quickly, didn't they? And then the ball went over to, was it Foden who set him up? And then I think whoever was on the left-hand side, it might have been Strauch, I can't remember, but he just got pulled over towards the ball and Jesus just stood in the middle. And
we were carved open.
Mm-hmm. We were. It's like £1 million football team. I don't know what to think about that because for the most part, we competed and we were really, really good and we contained them. Like first half, even though we were one down, we defended really, really well. Didn't offer much threat, I think, in the first 20 minutes. But as soon as we kind of got that confidence, that first sniff of it, and started to be a bit braver, then I thought, oh, we've done really well here. It's just a shame we're already 1-0 down.
Yeah, the early goal was basically the one thing the plan didn't allow for, because you aim to hold them, don't you? It's at least half time, get it to the hour, get it a bit nervy, and then, you know, either hold on for a draw or grab it. But then, yeah, when they scored early, I did kind of think, well, that's the plan gone. We need to now have another plan. I'm not sure we found one,
didn't we?
We would have been good value for an equaliser. Mm. If it had gone at half-time 1-1, City couldn't have complained, because I think from not quite straight after the goal, but a few minutes after the goal, we got it together and we had a really good period before half-time when could have, should have scored. And of course, I mean, we should have been 1-0 up in the first place with Rodrigo. I don't know who slipped, but when Rodrigo broke through, and you can see...
When he should have put it to Rafinha, that one.
And you could see it live, and then when you see the replay, you will see exactly the moment to pass and just put it across, and Rafinha is free to tap it in.
It was earlier than he did, wasn't it?
And he still just took another touch. And it's so painful to watch because it's so... You know,
you can see it, can't you? Because you see it in the stand and you think, do it now. And you just can't, you hope
he can see it as well. And, you know, obviously football doesn't work like that. He doesn't have the 360 degree view that we have from above the pitch, because I can see from under the ground. It's 360
degrees. You're like an owl, aren't you?
Like an owl twisting. Combined with a mole. But yeah, there's this touch. It's the touch that had to be the pass, and he just goes on another.
But that's the difference between a £27 million footballer and then them having £50 million footballers in every single position. And, you know, then you carry it forward towards the end of the game, and we bring Joffe and Sam Greenwood on, who cost 20 pence between them. And on comes Bernardo Silva. It's like, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm. I mean, to be fair, Joffe would have cost more if Wigan weren't broke. So, you know, he's priced down for that. He was
not the same price as Bernardo Silva, though, I'm going to guess.
No.
No. What a strange game. I feel quite elated. And yet.
Are you glad that Stuart Dallas is dead?
No, I'm not. I mean, all joking aside, it's not one of those things I feel like we can find much humour in, because it was looked fucking horrible. Did you see what he did? Because people who were watching it on the telly just suggesting to me, like, his knee's given way, like he planted his foot in the turf. Gary Neville or something wishing him, you know, the worst or whatever.
Is that right?
Probably saying he deserved it or whatever. The way he was going, he deserved it. I may be paraphrasing.
Okay, I don't know what you're talking about.
Let's assume that Gary Neville has wished ill upon Stuart.
Okay,
Dallas.
I mean, I think all the time that he was being treated, Jack Grealish was whittering onto the referee and I think was asking for him to be booked, but I'd need to watch that back. And I don't want to besmirch
Jack Grealish's good name.
Yeah, we'll leave that to his motoring offences. But it was, you could tell, because when Dallas went down and started pounding the turf, the leg that he'd hurt, he just didn't move it. And his arm was, he was like pounding the turf and then hands to knee, hands to knee, and because that leg, he just didn't you know, some players roll.
Like Jack Grealish.
They're fine. But when the injured leg is just, he's not moving it at all, that's the one. And I couldn't get a, one of the disadvantages of a little telly is you can't get a proper view of somebody's knee collapsing. But it didn't look very clever. And somebody said that he, at halftime, that they put him in an ambulance. And he's off to hopefully put his leg to rights. But that'll be the, it's undoubtedly the last we'll be seeing Stuart Dallas for a while.
It was kind of worrying to see some of their players applauding him off the pitch. That's normally when you know something looks fairly bad.
Yeah, it was bad. And it's,
and it's Dallas, isn't it? And he there's a number of times you've seen him go down and think, oh, it looked quite bad there. And then he sort of limps back on a minute later and then he plays his way through it.
There was even one in the first half, wasn't there, over near the dugouts where he, it was very early as well, where he went into a tackle and came up with a slight like holding of a hip or a knee or whatever it might have
been. He's always injured, but never broken.
But now he is.
Yep. Yeah. Come with it. And it feels like we pushed our luck with Dallas, but then it's nothing to do with that. It's just a 50-50 challenge in the end, and those things happen, but they happen to, they shouldn't happen to Stuart Dallas is kind of what I think. I am kind of personally upset that that has happened to such a nice bloke.
Jack Grealish, though. I mean, he took it in good spirits, having paper pelted at him throughout the second half.
Didn't go down.
So there's that. No, he didn't. I thought he might have done. Had one of those connected.
If we had anything about us, we could have soaked them in piss and thrown those at him.
There is a lot to be said for ignoring the peril that we're in right now and just complaining about the state of the Premier League with players going down and winning free kicks.
Should
he have
been sent off? Because there was one definite dive he did and he'd already been booked.
Mm. Yeah, ref didn't give it. Didn't even like book him or anything, did he?
The referee, Paul Tierney, had several priorities ahead of dealing with Jack Grealish cheating. One was the litter pick in the first half. Well, he stopped the game to get all the litter cleared off because that was absolutely guaranteed to stop any more from coming on.
It's like Marcelo Bielsa has returned, hasn't he, and insisted everybody does a litter pick.
Yep, so that happened. And then the second half, when the argument with Jesse Marsh in the dugouts and his assistant, because to get the game going again, Marsh grabbed a ball and threw it, right, ready for a throw-in to be taken. Mm. But there was already a ball on the pitch. And so the referee has taken that as us trying to institute multi-ball at half-time. You remember Bielsa fell foul of that when he first came in, because you can't bring in multi-ball. You can't just go like, oh, we'll start doing multi-ball now. Right. You have to decide, are you going to have balls around the pitch or are you going to use one ball? And we use one ball.
Right.
But because another ball appeared to get the game going really quickly, this huge argument developed about whether we were trying to do multi-ball. And I think this ball had just kind of appeared. Somebody in the crowd had kept it, or it had been behind the bench, so just, oh, well, right,
perhaps
get on with the game.
Perhaps there was a magician in the audience.
And it turned into this long-running argument with the fourth official, and then the referee came over, applauded all the way by Jesse Marsh from the middle of the pitch until he got to the side to book. And I'm not sure if he booked Cameron Toshack. I think he booked Marsh for being a sarky dickhead, but it was quite unclear what was going on. But then it was all just, none of this really fucking matters, does it? Like, oh, got the game going quickly with another ball.
I was
going to
say that was
hoo-ha with the bench.
That was one of the noticeable tactics we employed today to try and counter them, was to take throw-ins dead quickly and get the ball back in play. Because we've seen other games with the whole calm down, slow the game down attitude. But today it was very much get it back in straight away, wasn't it? Take throw-ins early, get them back to the centre half, try and unbalance Man City, for example.
And for that to be the kind of focus of the referee's attention instead of deciding what is and isn't a foul, which he didn't like from minute one to minute 90, I've still no idea what Paul Tierney would or wouldn't give at any point. It could be, you just, you know, flip a coin.
Well, that first...
Although Gary Neville obviously wouldn't want any of those in the stadium. Or, cashless bar.
Yeah, or a piece of paper. The first one, that was the free kick, wasn't it? Where Sterling just ran into someone, kicked it and then ran into someone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's what the Premier League is, isn't it?
And we've been good from set pieces for a while.
Yeah.
Not today.
No, I didn't even realise it had gone in properly at first. I was like, oh, okay.
It was actually pretty good.
All right.
It was a good header.
It was a good cross and a good header, I think.
I don't know who's man. Well, it's not man marking anymore, is it?
Someone's
zone.
It's a bit of both, isn't it? Yeah. I think, did I write it down?
I think it might have been Strouk, but off.
Strouk had we blame him, he had a bad enough day.
Yep, fine.
Because then the fourth, which one was Strouk's fault? The fourth, he passed it to Fernandinho to pop in. Mm. And then I think there was another one where I was looking at Strouk and I was thinking, oh yeah, it's the second corner. Nathan Ake So Strauch is the one kind of following him. And instead of trying to block him, he's kind of dealing with his chest and arms, but doesn't stop him from just kicking the ball in the net. And I think, you know, as an example of how today's gone, you know, Cooper being injured in the warm-up.
I mean, God, yeah. Forgot about that.
So that's part of it all being. And then I feel like Strauch, we saw that before he dropped out of the team, that he's just like, he's not playing very well. And then you could tell by his reaction to the fourth goal when he tried to clear it and instead just tapped it for Fernandinho, that he was just like, I'm really having a bad day out here. And right. It's another one where it's kind of, you just feel bad for him.
Right, yeah.
He's got a lovely tash and I don't want him to be in a bad mood.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Firpo's got a lovely tash, but I'm slightly concerned about his abilities as a footballer.
Good early booking.
Yeah, 6 minutes, wasn't it?
Gets that in, so he can't tackle anyone for the rest of the game.
The number of times he got either caught flat-footed or just the wrong side of somebody was slightly alarming. Admittedly, it is Man City, and he's now, just coming back, but still.
He's now our only left-back, so.
He frightens me.
Get to like him pretty soon, because we're not going to be seeing Dallas again.
I didn't really notice Firpo in defence because we were sort of under so much pressure. The one thing I noticed is when he had and you know, people say we miss Alioski. He had that chance on the corner of the penalty area at the south stand and fully Alioski'd it off towards the police station. So it was like having Gianni back. So that was nice. I didn't mind it. I didn't really notice too much with him because the pressure at the back just was the pressure. And like Dallas and Ayling were getting skinned by Grealish pretty much every time. He ran at them, so it was a day for those three centre backs to be just trying to block whatever they could.
Well, as is always the case, when it comes to Leeds losing and being in a bit of peril, the gallows humour takes over, and Mike is saying in the comments on YouTube, we won't need to like Firpo, he'll be injured again before Brighton for sure.
Well, maybe. I mean, yeah. I have concerns about him. I've not seen anything yet that suggests he's any good. Either defensive or attacking.
Marsh's first game at Leicester, he was good.
Was he all right?
And then he was an absolute disaster at Villa. So, and he got injured in it. And so, you know, whatever.
We are getting comments in from the managers post-match. And yeah, Stuart Dallas has had a scan, not looking good. And, you know, it's all just positive love and thoughts from the coaching team. Hearts and minds and so on and so forth. Comments from Marsh, yeah, he's not looking good. He's not saying too much at this stage. So we'll just wishing my best, reiterate what we said before. Yeah. We were able to execute the match plan against and with the ball. The two set pieces were really the difference on the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I actually thought, I'm surprised, Moscow. I fully expected you'd have hated this game and thought we were crap.
I did.
I don't know why. I just did it.
I'm quite relaxed about it.
I just had a feeling you'd have been like, no, that was terrible.
I think we played loads better. I mean, it's one of the things about the standard of opposition. We were loads better than we were against Crystal Palace. Mm. And we come out with a worse result. But we came up against exactly the same problem in attack. Is that everything is going through the middle, where there are lots of Manchester City players who just take the ball off us. And even that, so when it started going, Dan James went around the goalkeeper at the end and it was cleared off the line, and it was, you know, it was a great bit of skill from him to get around the keeper, and very unlucky not to score. But when he'd been played through, Jack Harrison was on the left where he has been for most of the last 2 years, standing with his hands in the air going, please just pass to me, I've got so much space. And it was probably the better pass before Dan James had to go around the keeper was going to be just out to Harrison in space, but it was almost like the players were deliberately ignoring him. Like, no, we can't pass you the ball because you're too far to the left. We have to go over here. And so that's why, I mean, there was one kind of depressing moment when Rafinha, in the second half, charging forward from right wing back, as he ended up, just kind of booted a big up and under into the penalty area from the wing. And I was thinking, a player with so much quality, and that's kind of why is this what he's doing?
Because all the good bits were when we actually started playing wide again, weren't they? When we started to find those little pockets of space out wide. And because I noticed Rafinha was on the touchline and then Jackie was on the touchline at different times. I was like, oh, naughty boys.
Well, I guess playing with wing back.
I was going to say, with wing backs, it allows you to still have a crowded centre, doesn't it, I guess, and yeah. with some players out wide. I mean, maybe Harrison and Rafinha as wing backs is an option. If you're going to want some attacking flair out wide, but you still want his crowd middle of the pitch.
We did see something very different setup from Marsh today, which Guardiola has said he didn't expect, which is the three centre backs. And then we know from the penis formation that it relies on the full backs to get forward up and down a lot. And here is a variation. I think we've kind of forgotten as we kind of, because Marsh has only presented one thing so far, that he does have other things, or formations at least. I don't think the style changes too much, but he does set up. So three at the back, different. And it does mean wing backs were more of a thing. But then, yeah, the Joffe's chance at the end, I think Click might have been offside before he crossed it, but it was Click kind of going down the wing.
He looked off to me.
Squaring it into the box, and Joffe has a chance. And it just seems, it's becoming kind of infuriating when it's just not working through the middle. And it's like, it's fair to try it. Like, it's a thing we could possibly do. And it's what Marsh has brought with him. Like, these through balls in the air. It worked against Watford, so maybe it will work against Brighton and Brentford. But just pleading with it. Just for God's sake. Mm. There was one, Jackie Harrison in the first half got the ball in our half. Rodrigo and Rafinha were together in the middle, in City's half, and started making a run through the middle as he ran with the ball. But instead of running wide into space, he just runs into where they already were, and there were already loads of defenders there, and he's getting the ball, and it's like, God, just, there's a lot of width out there that could do some good. So it was, but today was, you know, defending was the thing, and we looked more solid with the three centre-backs, and then obviously Dallas getting injured then screws up half of the defensive plans anyway, so it's not an argument in the second half that when we're being cut open for the third, that's going to happen.
And Cooper being injured didn't he? Screwed up the defensive plans from the start as well, say, because he's been our best player and he's obviously the organiser in there and all that.
Jesse's been on about that. So we've got Dallas, who's not good, Cooper injured his knee and will require a scan, Llorente felt something before the match as well.
Yeah, when
possibly fear.
When Dallas went down, it was Creswell warming up, not Llorente.
Right. So
Llorente seems to always be injured. He's never happy with his body. He's always got something, a bit of him that he's holding.
It's like stringy little muscles. Mm. And they always seem to be. It's always like a little muscle that seems to be bothering him.
You can't keep losing players like this again. And it goes back to the problems that we experienced earlier in the season, doesn't it? When you're playing with such a small squad that you keep losing them, even if it's just little things.
Jesse's bloody methods.
Overtraining. Losing him, even in sort of minor ways like Llorente, if you felt a little niggle or something that meant he couldn't start, that it's putting the game plan that they've trained through the week for, it's just changing it, isn't it, at the last minute.
Just play Creswell from the start.
Yeah.
I reckon if you did a survey of Leeds players rating how likely we are to stay up, I reckon he's the most confident.
Because it goes back to, I was thinking that about Stroik, because he has been brilliant all season, but until recent weeks, like the end of Bielsa's time, and then he's not sort of really got it back together again. Mm. And it looks like confidence that he is a young lad who just needs a break, really. Mm. So there wasn't a problem with him being on the bench. But Creswell, to all appearances, does not seem to have a problem with confidence and will believe in himself if you stick it in him. And is also coming in without having any bad performances. Mm. Like Stroik now has to do what every footballer has to do at some point. Get that out of the system, concentrate on the next game, blah, blah, blah. Whereas Creswell just has to come in and just go, well, I'm mint. Every time I've played, I've been great, so it's not a problem.
Comments from Marsh in the press conference. On the score sheet, it's a loss, but in many ways, I think it's a win. It's a crazy thing to say, but it's how I feel. So the support of the crowd was unique, and reiterating, it's the tremendous support that makes Leeds United the best club in the world.
I told you he was celebrating at the end, didn't I? I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Did that feel like a win to you in any way, Michael?
I mean, as losses go, it was
an honourable loss.
A relatively fun one, I suppose. And the end was nice. I did like the singing. Mm-hmm. I'd have rather trudged out of there with a 0-0, though.
Yeah. I'm glad that, you know, things got thrown at Grealish. Mm. That's good. You can't fault the crowd today.
Yeah.
I think, but particularly like the kids who were throwing things at Jack Grealish. There was one like close-up shot that I could see on the little telly as he was preparing to take a corner, and the number of just like little scoundrels
who scoundrels
are like rugrats just running around at the front of the cheese wedge.
Urchins is the word you need. Urchins.
Urchins picking up any bit of paper they could just to chuck it at him. And, you know, that was good. That's great. I enjoyed all
question
that.
Question for you, Moscow. If you could throw any object at Jack Grealish, what would it be?
Junior Firpo.
His own Range Rover. But
he could well do that. He could Brian Harvey himself, I reckon.
The big thing about today was we were pretty sure we were going to lose. Mm. I had that feeling we were going to win that I talked about in my match report after the Watford game. And that kind of, not after the Watford game, who did we play last week? Palace. And that kind of stayed with me until last night when I saw the Yorkshire thing on the East Stand. I was like, I think we're making a bit too much of an event of this. Mm. That kind of gave me bad vibes, but then had good vibes.
Derby County vibes.
Yeah, it often... but then I hadn't taken into account that it would give us things to throw. So it turned out to be a net benefit.
Because as soon as the display was held up, I know we're circling back to where we started here. Did you see the big banner at the front that people saying, hold up cards now? Did you see that?
I wasn't in the ground in time for it.
Yeah. So there's two gentlemen holding a banner, hold up cards now. So everybody held up the cards and then everybody screwed up the cards and everybody threw
them. Was it the customer liaison officer who spent the entire game cleaning up screwed up paper by himself?
I hope he goes somewhere tonight and has a big drink and enjoys it.
I'd love to listen into the phone call that comes in from the Premier League who just say, that game has just been televised around the world. What was it that was in your mind when you decided to arm your supporters, and we know what they're like, with all those missiles?
Pyrotechnics next time.
Well,
light fireworks now. Yeah.
Man City's fans did have items. Papers not banned inside a football stadium. Don't know if you've heard. Pyrotechnics are. Man City's fans had at least three.
Yeah.
With Neville crying his eyes out about that.
Scenes nobody wants to see. And that's right under where he sits as well, so you'd think he'd be more upset about that. Dangerous. His nostrils filling with blue smoke.
Dear me. Where do we go from here, gentlemen?
Oh, we go and we beat Chelsea, don't we? After we've played Arsenal. Is it Arsenal next?
Yeah.
I'm totally losing track.
But if we play like that against Arsenal, if we've got any players left, we'll beat them. It's fine.
Yeah. There is enough. I didn't like us going forward. I don't like us going forward, whatever. But there was enough there today. We played a lot better than Palace. And I would hope, I'm uneasy about Jesse Marsh going off the pitch, fist bumping after a 4-0 win. It just doesn't quite, I've not quite decided how I feel about this yet. However, I am in favour of them taking whatever they can from the crowd today and doing some fucking good with it, because we should be staying in the Premier League with support like that. I know it doesn't work like that, but don't let us like cheer them off the pitch at 4-0 and then go and get sodding relegated. It would be a bit annoying.
I have watched us cheer teams through a couple of relegations.
It does happen, doesn't it?
which is when I always think back to that, when people are doing, not now because I don't think this team deserves any stick, but at points when teams have deserved stick and have got stick, people have said, "Oh, you gotta support the lads." It's like, I definitely remember cheering them loads as we were
even people we didn't like, against your better judgment, I was still cheering them on.
I mean, like, I had to support a Dennis Wise team as we went down to League fucking One. You know, it's there were some tough cheers in there.
Go on, Kevin Nichols, good lad. So it's, yeah, so there's, it's a worry. But yes, there's enough good there today. We're not playing Manchester City again. We are playing, I mean, the teams are playing good, but Arsenal...
11-0 on aggregate.
We can get something off of
not
Arsenal.
Not interested.
And we've got to hope, I mean, it's horrible, but Chelsea, just beat Everton tomorrow. Because the Burnley thing today is absolutely fucking ridiculous.
the surprising thing in that game was, though, that Watford were ever in the lead, because I never thought that would be anything other than a Burnley
win.
They
were playing well.
I watched it. Did you watch it?
I watched the first, so this is how my day's gone. I watched the first half And then from the moment I was like, right, I better go to Welland Road, Burnley scored twice. Cooper's injured in the warm-up. Dallas is badly injured. We lose 4-0. And now you won't even let me hit him with a piece of paper.
You can in
so
a
it's from
you
that moment.
It's fine.
But yeah, first half, Watford were playing really well. But then our sofa score pals with their momentum graph. Second half is just all, like, it's absolute 100% Burnley. Yeah. And nobody needs that in
Watford lives. Just kept dropping deeper and deeper, which is what Roy Hodgson teams do. But I mean, look, we can't rely on them chumps, can we, anyway?
Well, we have to.
Well, we can rely on Everton.
We have to rely on Everton tomorrow.
Lampard going down was always the first choice anyway.
You could work out for the best.
But it was much nicer when Burnley.
So we are very much playing with fire here, aren't we?
Yes.
But it's the likeliest happy outcome as it stands at the minute. So let's roll with it. Anything to add before we head off into our Saturday evening?
Come on, Chelsea.
Yeah?
Yeah. Blue is the colour.
I'm going to try my absolute best to not watch
Football
it tomorrow.
Football is the game.
Because I'll hate watching it. So I'm just going to try. I quite enjoyed the Burnley-Watford game today because I was at the ground already. I was sorting out magazine stuff, so I couldn't watch it. Yeah. And that was preferable because I've watched Everton and Burnley games recently and they're terrible games. So, and stressful.
Minder is better than Zedcars. There, I've said it.
Great.
I don't know if there's really a big like Chelsea Minder association, but it's London, isn't it? So
that'll do.
It's all London.
Right. Well, let's wrap it up there then because Moscow's now starting to put paper on Michael's head. So it's the end, isn't it? We'll regroup. We'll be back for a bit bleak, I know. We'll be back.
That could be a knife.
For propaganda and the weekly show in a couple of days. We'll reflect with Phil as well on the Phil Hayes show. All the fun of the fair to come next week.
Man City fans. That'll be enjoyable, won't it?
Oh no, Stuart Dallas should have been sent off for touching Jack Grealish.
It's time to go. We'll see you in a bit.
The Match Ball.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.